Mike Stritsky's been tinkering with cars his whole life. Over time, the 49-year-old engineer became convinced that hydrogen fuel cells were the future of the auto industry. But during his 16 years with the New Jersey Department of Transportation, Stritsky saw that there was a problem with fuel cell cars. Nobody was really building them.
You had the automakers and you had government pointing fingers. Well, you know, you build the fuel cell cars first and then we'll provide the infrastructure. And then they said, well, you provide the infrastructure and we'll build the fuel cell cars. And I got tired of hearing that argument. And I said, well, one way to solve the problem is to make your infrastructure your home.
5 years and $500,000 later, Stritsky's achieved his dream. Here's how it works. Stritsky's garage is covered with solar panels. They provide electricity for his house, and when there's extra power, it's routed to a device called an electrolyzer, which breaks down water into hydrogen and oxygen. During the summer, the hydrogen is stored in fuel tanks on Stritsky's property, and in the winter, he runs the hydrogen through a 6-kilowatt fuel cell to make energy. Stritsky, his wife, and 3 children are the first family in the country to live in a house powered entirely by hydrogen fuel cells and solar power. And there's another benefit. Stritsky can fuel up his hydrogen fuel cell vehicles at a gas pump near his garage.
The fuel cells have enough to run the vehicle at about 50 miles an hour on fuel cells alone. If you're going faster than that, you're sipping off of the battery pack at a very low rate.
Stritsky helped design this car for Rutgers University 7 years ago. It's been running ever since. Now that he has a fueling station at his home, he plans to convert his other car, a Toyota Prius, to run on hydrogen as well. Stritsky pulls up to the hydrogen fueling station, a series of converted propane tanks out by his garage. Opening his car's trunk, Stritsky connects a hose from one of those tanks to a smaller tank inside the car.
That's how it refuels.
Stritsky's system runs like a well-oiled machine, only without the oil. But it wasn't always so simple. When he first decided to build his home power plant, Stritsky sought government approval from his hometown of East Amwell, New Jersey.
I said, all right, I'm doing this like anybody else is getting a building permit. I walked into the town, and I said, here, I want to build a solar hydrogen fuel cell home. And, the first place I went was the zoning officer, and he basically told me it's an uncustomary use in a residential zone, and it'll be a cold day in hell before I allow this.
East Amwell Mayor Kurt Hoffman says the zoning officer was known as a stickler. The township had accidentally removed a line in a local zoning law, allowing homeowners to use alternative energy.
So we did an addendum to the zoning ordinance to allow alternative energy usages. These kinds of things, they have to be publicly noticed. You have to have public hearings. That brought out some people's concern about hydrogen technology and the safety issue.
Hoffman says Stritsky brought in a series of experts to testify that his house was not going to blow up. The hydrogen was being stored at a safe pressure in the same type of tank normally used for propane. Stritsky says he'll probably never make back the $500,000 it cost to build a system, but he hopes to cut the costs by 90% by mass producing and selling solar hydrogen fuel cell systems to other homeowners. He says the future of the planet depends on renewable energy and not fossil fuels that have to be transported halfway across the world.
I mean, at least the fact that I'm using the energy in the same place that I'm creating it, you know, the energy is still zero carbon, and it's still free once you've paid for the equipment.
The Stritskys don't skimp on electricity. They have a big screen TV, a hot tub, and all modern appliances. And Stritsky takes great pride in the fact that he can power everything, including his car, using renewable hydrogen power.
There's no shelf life, and, you know, that's what powers the sun. When the sun stops shining, we're all dead. So this is a much better solution than digging big holes in the ground, throwing sulfur up in the air. This is something that's definitely sustainable. We just have to have the will to do it.
For the Environment Report, I'm Brad Linder.